At your service. It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
All right, good Saturday morning, St. Louis, and welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show, your go-to destination for expert advice on all things home-related. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and for the next 2 hours, we're diving deep into your home improvement questions, conundrums, any curiosities you may have, from fixing that pesky, squeaky floorboard to mastering the art of a DIY project. We can help you out. We're here to make your house the envy of your neighborhood. And hey, we know you're so busy. Let's get straight at this with everybody. If you got a burning question, don't hesitate to reach out. Just dial to find me, 314-436-7900. You can connect with us right now, live on the air. Phone lines are wide open, but remember the clock is ticking. We've got two straight hours, so we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a lot of questions and material to cover and a lot of things going on. Cardinals baseball coming up, but we'll still have our full show once that starts. So if you don't want to listen to the Cards game, you want to keep on the home improvement once it starts, you can jump over to 97.1 FM and we will be there finishing out the show. So just want to get everything there for you, done for you, and really hopefully enough time to have some great conversations, just like we did last week. Last week was really wonderful. We had some very interesting questions. We spoke about a lot of different variety of issues and questions and curiosities on how to make things better. And one of my favorites is really talking about how to make the second floor of your home more comfortable in the heat of the summer. What's going on? Why is the insulation in the attic really that important? And what are the parts and pieces that can make that better for you? We went all through that. We got into ventilating your attic with ridge vents and talked about the comparison of gable vents and different ways to get air in and out, where it comes from, where it goes to. One of the surprising things that most people find very surprising is if you look back in the history of attic ventilation, you'll learn that the old turbine, remember the old turbines we used to have? They stuck up off the roof about 2 feet or so. They spun with the breeze, but they would create such a draw that those actually work just as well as today's newer style ridge vent. They were just an eyesore. No one really liked to see them, and they came out with this great way along the ridge to make it function just as well and make it aesthetically pleasing to the eye when you're looking at it. So great things coming about for our industry always. We're always coming up with things and changing. And so we've talked about a lot of things. We helped Brian tackle some drywall concerns, how to tape mud, sand, and get it ready and get through projects like that. So a lot of things we've covered, a lot of ground, and we plan to do the same thing this week with your stories, your questions. You can call me, get in on the conversation and the fun. Again, you can find me 314-436-7900. And apparently Debbie has done exactly that. So let's get to Debbie. And are you there, Debbie? Can you hear me? Thanks for calling.
Yes, I am. Hey, I got a question. I've got a sunroom, an existing one. It's like, 12 by 20. Okay. And I wanted to have a construction guy come out, but I heard you on the radio and I thought, I've been wondering about this. So I want to extend it out another 12 feet. Okay. Another 12 by 20. So kind of double the space.
Uh-huh.
So when he comes to give me a bid, they kind of bid on like square footage and then, add up and down, whatever the case may be. But is he going to, okay, so my room, if I extend it out 12 by 20, now it's going to be 20 by 22, right? Or 40 by 22.
Yes, yep.
Okay, so is he going to charge me 40 by 22 or just the extension that he puts on? Now, he does have to put a new roof on and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So there will be overlapping pieces of the project when you're adding on. So, so they do have to, and this is why when we look at something like this at Mosby, we're kind of doing some upfront professional services to kind of show, all right, here's how we could do it. Here's how we could make it. You can even kind of decide maybe you don't quite need that if we design it a little bit smaller and that affects that level of investment for you. Maybe something in a different range there would work for you. But it's about finding out everything that you need to touch, because you need to build a roof that is 12 by 20, but it has to tie into the other roof. So the shingles will...
Oh, no, they're going to have to take the whole roof off and put a brand new one on.
There's overlapping
pieces.
So
that would be a whole new roof. But I'm just talking about I'm going to have two walls and of the existing house that the sunroom comes off of, right?
Yes.
And then I'm going to extend out an extra 12 feet, but I'm going to have 12 feet already there.
Yes.
Existing.
So it will depend on like floor type. Can you match things when you extend with what's already there? How old is the sunroom now? Can you get more sunroom panels? So there's a lot of questions.
No, I get that. But
yeah.
I mean, sometimes the construction guys go, okay, well, let's see. We're going to have, when you're done, your room is going to be, let's just say, 40 by 12.
Yes.
So 40 by 12 is what square footage, right?
That's going to be 440?
Right. Okay, so 440. So is he going to charge me, like, price per square foot, say, $250? So is he going to charge me $250 times the 4-something square footage, or is he going to charge me, let's see. Do you see what
I'm
saying?
To what you're adding, yeah.
What I'm adding.
Yeah, what I'm trying to get at is there's pieces of it that he will charge the whole square footage, because if he's doing the whole roof.
And correct.
If he does half the floor because he can match your existing floor, then he should only charge you for half the floor that gets added. Now, if you can't match the floor and he says, well, not only do I have to charge you for the whole 440 square foot for a new floor, but I also have to charge you for removing 220 square foot of floor to put the whole new floor in. So there's so many crossing things there. Hopefully they're figuring it out and they're charging you for what they touch and what they work on.
I mean, listen.
yeah. But it depends on the company and the people and how accurately they look at it and work on it to try and figure that out. Some will just go to that bigger size just to kind of say, well, then I'm covered. So it just depends on the people and the company and how they run their company.
Right. But I was just curious, see, overall, is a construction company, I guess it's, you're telling me it's by construction company.
Yes, it will depend on how accurate, how involved, how detailed does that company get when they figure it out and then what they show you. Because if you see a very, very detailed, if they put a really detailed scope of work together like I would, it would literally say, we're going to build a roof this big, we're going to shingle a roof this big, we're going to do this much flooring.
Oh, sure, the plan.
It will tell you all of that stuff, and then you can know, well, these are all the parts and pieces that I'm getting charged for, so here's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it depends, really, but does that make sense?
Yeah. And I was really more like, okay, the square footage part of it, and then I get the overlapping and all that, you know. I just kind of wanted to know what the industry does, you know, with that, with that square footage type thing. Because I've had one construction job that literally was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. And so unfortunately.
So I don't ever want to go back to that. In fact, my husband says, we're not extending the sunroof for that reason. I said, okay, I get it.
Well, it's kind of like moving for some of us. It's like, I don't want to move. I've been there.
We had to fire the guy midstream. So,
That's rough. And that's why
it was rough.
That's why the industry is so different per company. It's just they work.
Believe
and
me.
React and what are their goals and what are they trying to achieve and how detailed are they? And that's where square foot pricing becomes so hard to really be accurate, because if I told you, well, it cost $8 for the ceramic tile that you like per square foot, and it cost $12 to install it, that's $20 per square foot. If that person found out you were on the 20th floor of a high rise, it would no longer be $20 a square foot.
Oh, yeah.
They would go, whoa, wait a minute. And so looking at everything is so different, it's hard to just put that out there and say that and then be accurate later, because you find things out and go, oh, yeah, this is upstairs, so it takes me longer to get there. And if I cut a tile, I got to walk outside down the stairs. And so, yeah, that's where some of those differences come in. And it's more of a matter of that talking, interviewing, finding out how they do it, and seeing what information gets delivered so that you can have a clear understanding, good expectations, and then make that decision.
Correct. So, okay.
Hey, great question.
I just heard you on the radio.
Great topic.
Okay,
I appreciate
you.
You're welcome. I appreciate you calling in, Debbie. And for everybody else, I'll be right here. We're going to take our first break. You can find me again, 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, guys, we are back. Plenty of things happening today. Plenty of information for you. Anything you need to know, any curiosities, anything about your house, you can find me right here today, 314-436-7900. And Debbie's question is a great question, and it's a great topic when you look at and you think about who you are hiring and what do you know about that company, the people, the person at your house, the owner of the company, who's all involved and what have they really done? What are the qualifications and what have they really done to better themselves, their system, how they interact with their trade partners, subcontractors, their clients, the people they're doing the work for? There's so many different levels of what happens in how companies work and run, from a handyman kind of by himself, just I can work for this much an hour and do good things and fix things. And you go all the way through the general contracting, small companies where everything's subcontracted. You get up into where Mosby Building Arts is the full service design build. We can design it, licensed architect on staff, designers, drafters, all the people, permitting. We can handle 100% of everything. And then when we get to the field, a lot less subcontracting and a lot more employees to take care of what has to happen as we build. Then you go in and you ask yourself on these different levels of companies, well, what have they done? What have they worked on, thought about over the years? Have they really looked into getting better, or are they just trying to produce jobs to make an income and get through it? Because there's ways that, and it's different today in a lot of industries of how we look at what we're doing. And we got to look at our remodeling, building, all this industry the same way. As it's not, what are your goals? What are your missions? What are you trying to accomplish? And when you figure that out and you perfect that, you work hard at that, you always change that, the rest of running a business and having income and keeping people busy will just come and it will fall into place. So myself and some new listeners out there might be thinking, well, who is this guy and what has he really learned? And does he really know what's the background? And the same thing for like the company that I work for with Scott Mosby with Mosby Building Arts. So Scott was the first company that came to me and said, hey, we're gonna train you. We're going to teach you. We want to do things better. So when you look at the things I've been through of 5-star certification in roofing, siding, moisture with certain Teed products, a master shingle applicator of GAF roofing, lead safe, work safe practices, certified renovator. I've been trained by the Building Performance Institute. It's not just me. It's multiple people in our company have done these things. I've been trained by NARI in universal design. So thinking differently when you look at how to do a project and what should happen and thinking about the future and different things that may happen, could happen, and or maybe will happen. There's a lot to figuring that out, doing all of that. So for here today, like on the radio for me on a Saturday, my goal here for you guys, my mission is to enhance the listeners' lives. I want to make your homes better. I want to deliver reliable advice and outperform all of the listeners' expectations for what needs to happen. And so my vision in that is that I become the most desired Midwest home improvement radio show host in our area. That's the thought. That's the goal. That's what you work towards. And when you truly do that, even in a company, a business and services you're providing, then great things can just follow as you do the best thing for everybody around you. So there's a lot to be said for what happens when you have conversations, when you look at that sunroom and talk about doubling the size of it and what it takes and how you do it and what makes it better and what do you touch, what do you not touch. Sometimes there's options. It's just educating and letting someone know that, well, here's the options. So we can add to the floor and it'll look like this, or we can redo the whole floor. Let me show you both ways. Let me see how we really get around and get through that. And so looking at everything that we've been trying to do here at Mosby Building Arts for years and years, what I've seen personally happen from going out and going to visit people up front like Debbie and talking about that sunroom and talking about how are we going to do it? What do we do differently? How do we design it? How do we show it to you? How do we understand every piece of the project with electrical and lighting and all that, all the different parts and pieces that fall into a project like this, and then deliver great things all the way through to the end of the job with employees, with our field staff, with great quality work and great references and referrals later. Basically, what comes out of that is happy clients that love what they got, that love the experience, that come back time and time again. And so I've looked over all the years of going to people, looking at stuff, signing construction agreements to actually perform remodeling work, whether it's doubling that sunroom, a kitchen, a bathroom, anything, exteriors, siding, windows, doors, we perform all that stuff. So looking back, I went back and I looked back from like 2016, went through about 8 years of in 2016, everything that I did and all the remodeling work that I was a part of in 2016, I had 72 projects and 28 of those were repeat clients that we had performed work for before. So when you have a company that does what they say, then people are happy and they come back. And this number has exponentially grown ever since 2016. So in 17, it went to 62%. In 18, I had 70 projects and 52 repeat clients in 2018, 73%. And it just keeps going. So in 2019, went to 76%. 2020 was a little bit, it was a little bit of an oddball because that's the COVID year. Things got really, really different. But I could tell you that, and it got very, very busy. For me personally, with Mosby Building Arts, I signed 113 construction agreements to remodel people's houses, and 100 of those were repeat clients. 88% of what I did in 2020 was a repeat client that we had performed work for in the past. Now, I've leveled back out in the past couple years. 21 went to 75, 22 was 84, and 23 was 79%. Still great, still up there. But so when you're talking to companies, think about that. Think about, do I feel like I'm in front of somebody that's what's happening, that's the way they respond, they react, that's the expectations they set? Are they really, really that happy of all their clients? What's happening? And no one's perfect, and mistakes happen. And when you remodel, when you fix your house up, I'm sure, and let's throw the DIYers in there too, I'm helping you answer questions and figure things out to do stuff yourself. How many times are you back at the hardware store? How many times does something go wrong? It doesn't work out. You got to change what's happening or you'll find something underneath. That's all just a part of what we do that we have to be good at and deal with. It's going to happen. But if you can get to where you're 90, 95% success rate of happy people that want to come back again and again for projects, you know you found the right company that will do the right thing for you, the best thing possible every single time. So you have any questions about your house? You have any questions about that? You have any questions about interviewing someone to look at stuff for your house? Let's have a conversation about it. We're going to jump into our break here, but you can get me at 314-436-7900. Phone lines are wide open. Let's get some questions going in the next segment. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
The Voice of St. Louis, News Radio 1120, KMOX.
All right, guys, we are back. A lot of cool things going on. Hopefully some great questions, conversations here to come. Again, remember, you can find me. We've got plenty of show. We've got a whole nother hour after this one. 314-436-7900. We've got Mildred on the line, so let's get to Mildred and see what's happening.
Good morning.
Good morning. You there? Yeah. Yes, I can hear you. Thanks for calling.
I have a question for you as far as I have the furnace and the air conditioning unit. You know, the furnace is directly, it's a vented out to the outside. It does no longer go up the chimney. The only thing that's going up the chimney for carbon monoxide is my gas water heater. So my question to you is, since I have a problem with the chimney, and it has to be reconstructed and all, but I just wanted to know whether or not what is the process of going from gas to electric?
Well, so there's two ways that you can do that, because You can switch from gas to electric on your water heater, and you got to bring in an electrician, make sure your panel box is big enough, has enough space. They run wire to it and everything, and that will get rid of that flue. But they also, and it would probably cost a little less, they also make gas water heaters that vent out through your wall just like your new furnace does. So you can stick with the gas, and you can get a sealed system, direct vent. The PVC pipe goes out the side wall just like the furnace does.
Okay.
And then that way, then that chimney is obsolete if there's nothing else. If that was the only two things that you even had the chimney for, then you can get rid of the chimney.
Well, I had it for the, there was a fireplace, a wood-burning fireplace, but I'm trying to see, because I'm going to get it repaired, the flute, by being clay pipes going up.
Uh-huh.
I want to just block it off completely from the fireplace portion of it and from the roof vent. So that birds and nothing else can come in and so forth. But I do know that, like you said, the carbon monoxide, a portion of it. And you just gave me a insight that there, I do have another option, and that is having a gas unit vent it out to the outside.
Yep, because your gas is already there. And if you go in what you're talking about, eliminating the chimney 100%, you'll have to completely like brick off and block off the inside of that fireplace from inside the home, because you have to make it where no one can ever think they can make a fire in there. Like, there's no possible way. You basically make the inside go away as well, or just brick it shut where they'd have to sledgehammer out bricks and mortar to build a fire. You got to be that safe about it, because if someone doesn't realize, they go in there and build a fire, it's not going to vent. And another thing I would say to definitely check in on, if you think about removing that chimney altogether, because if it needs a lot of work, they might be able to just kind of take it apart, unstack it down lower, fix the roof, and just make it go away altogether, where there's just a roof there now where the chimney used to be. But sometimes if you are in a historic area, they will not let you get rid of a chimney.
Well, I'm not in a historic, I don't think I'm not. But my question to you is, okay, the a gas company or HVAC person would be able to convert the gas water heater in that aspect, and would a chimney repair person be able to do the other, or who would I call to block up that chimney and to fortify that chimney? And how does that help if you have a attic space behind it as far as condensation, you know, with our weather in Missouri?
Yes.
Will it do any effect, or as long as you blocking it off from the fireplace, you blocking it off from the from the roofing, is there any other things that I would have to be concerned with?
Well, the only thing, if you block it off like that, I would say a good chimney repair company can look at how the chimney works, blocking it off. A lot of them do the brickwork and everything too, because they work on so many chimneys, so they cover that span of it too, so they can do the taking away or the repair. But once you do take it away and you block it off at both ends, you do make you brought up a really good question, and you're I applaud you for thinking so deeply into things, because when you block off that fireplace inside and you block off that chimney from the top, you now have a big open area that used to be a flue, and now it's just kind of a space inside of a masonry structure. It's an open space. So when you get really cold temperatures in the winter. This is the St. Louis chimney leak that isn't really a chimney leak. It's what you mentioned, condensation. Sometimes you can get condensation forming inside that space, and it just produces water, drips down, and you get these little stains at the top of the ceiling and the wall around or on both sides of that chimney. And a lot of times it's due to imperfections with the chimney. It's the flashing, it's the tuck pointing, it's the cap on top. And other times it's just that big open space between those masonry walls is just temperatures are meeting a warm and a cold from inside the house to outside the house, and it's producing moisture, condensation. So we think we have a leak, and we really don't. We just have areas of time in the winter when it's really, really cold that we produce condensation inside that chimney, and you get minor stains from it. And that's really hard to stop.
Because I have seen from the outside, and that's where I want to know what the process that I should do. I know about the chimney flue being compromised, cracks in it, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I know from looking on the outside, the condensation from the outside and where it needs tuck pointing, where the outside needs tuck pointing already. So getting the water, I'm going to say, hot water thing first.
Yeah.
Getting it bend it out to the outside, getting the chimney repair person in to block off and do that per se. Then do the tuck pointing. What are the three procedures? Who should I see first? What should be done first?
I would first get the water heater and have that taken outside so you know that portion is done and you're good. Then I would bring in a chimney fireplace type repair company and say, what needs to happen to this chimney? How do I repair this? How do I keep water out? How do I block it off? And I would go to a couple of them and find out how much of it they do and how they would get through it. And I would do that step second.
And then the tuck pointing layer.
Yeah. Yep. And a lot of some of those chimney companies will offer that tuck pointing in at the same time.
Right, right. I understand that.
And they can handle
that.
It all. Yep.
Uh-huh.
So it might be two steps instead of three, depending on how much of the work they perform.
And my you brought up something else that I want you to clarify once again in my mindset as far as that the chimney up at top of the house on the outside.
Uh-huh.
You say once I get it blocked off, I can have the chimney taken off, or can it just be blocked off from the top, and that will suffice, and that would stop insects, bugs, birds, or whatever else that might park in there.
Yes.
What is the best route?
So you can just block off the chimney and close it all off, and that'll take care of everything, getting in, doing all that. But it leaves a chimney up there that could have tuck pointing and things happen to it later, and issues happen later just because of the circumstance of the home. So another option would be to remove the chimney, take it apart, take it down lower, cover it with the roof, and that way you need a roofer. But you're lowering that chimney and you're getting rid of the fact that maybe later you'll need tuck pointing and things like that happening. So hopefully that helps you. We got to get to a break here, Mildred. I apologize. We got to get this break in so we can come back. So and then, Dan, if you can hold the line, we will jump to you as soon as we return after these messages.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on KMOX. Now, once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, we're back. KMOX Home Improvement Show. We have Dan on the line. Let's get right to Dan and see if we can get him help out before the break. Dan, what do you got going on? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good afternoon.
Quick question.
Hopefully you can help me out.
Okay.
I have an older home with a crawl space in it. And the crawl space has some batten insulation. And over years, it has kind of just fallen to the ground and wore out, whatever it may be. I was considering looking at some spray foam type of insulation, and I was wondering if you could shed some light on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. So let me ask you one or two quick questions. The floor in the crawl space, is that dirt?
It is dirt. It does not have the polymer vet paper barrier down.
Perfect. So a crawl space is really, when you think about it, you want to think about it in terms of a short basement. So your basement floor and throughout the whole first floor doesn't have insulation in between all the floor joists for temperature, because the air just kind of works from the basement and the first floor and the ductworks leak. So you can do the crawl space the same way, where basically you want to put the spray foam insulation around the band boards to get your temperature difference stopped at the walls, at the outside of the floor, and to stop any air from infiltrating in underneath there. Then you can take all of that insulation at the floor and just pull it out, get rid of it. You no longer need it. But I definitely recommend the moisture barrier that goes from the insulation, like up on the wall, down the wall, across the floor in a sealed system, so that it's sealed into that foam insulation and it's sealed all the way around any seams to keep moisture out. And definitely you don't want any vents from outside to inside of that crawl space through the foundation walls. If those are there, block them off, insulate them, and let it breathe from the basement to the crawl space. Leave that opening door open, and that will function the best. It'll function just like a basement floor will now.
So, question I have, do you guys provide the service, or can you make a recommendation on that? Because that does make clear sense to me.
Yes, we do. And I've got to get to a break here, but Mosby does provide that service. You can give us a call and check into that. But we're going to jump into a break, and we'll be back after the news, after these next messages.